Welcome to Localizing Windows UAP Apps Using the Multilingual App Toolkit. My name is Cameron Larum, and I'm a Senior Program Manager in the Windows Operating System Group.
And my name is Francis Zhou. I am a Senior Program Manager in the Developer Ecosystem Platform Team.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in. So the Multilingual App Toolkit is a program that is installed with Visual Studio. It's an extension. It's been available since Windows 8, and we've extended it to support the UAP platform as well, since that's the go-forward for Windows 10. Mm-hmm. The things that it really gives you is developers need to focus on writing code. They don't really care about languages except for the fact that they want to be in multiple markets. So the toolkit allows you to focus on writing your program, managing your source language, and letting it do the synchronization and translation services for you. It seamlessly works inside of Visual Studio, so you're in the environment that you love and do your productivity in. And you also get instant access inside Visual Studio to translation services such as Microsoft Translator and Microsoft's professionally translated strings.
So you mean I get all this translation service for free as a developer?
You absolutely do. So Microsoft Translator is a service that Microsoft's charged for after a small free period, and we give all you can eat for free with the Microsoft Translator.
Wow, that sounds great. So I have this application here.
Okay.
And this application is called Simple Ink that I wrote to demonstrate handwriting recognition in Windows 10.
So very nice.
I can write something like, hello. And that recognizes into actual English text. So you meant to say, with this application using the multilingual tool set, I can translate to any language I want for absolutely free.
Absolutely, yes, 100% free. Works in Express Edition as well. And when you consider the scope of the Windows Marketplace, we have 190 stores, 190 mm-hmm. markets you can get into. We have over 60, as the last count I remember, of payment models, so the ability to charge for it and actually receive money from your customers is all built into the Windows ecosystem. Having that in their native language is really important for the value you can provide to them.
Absolutely.
So. You're a native Chinese speaker, right?
Yeah.
Let's make this Chinese.
All right, great. Let's do it.
All right.
So show me how.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and exit out of here. And I believe you have this project up mm-hmm. already. So we're going to just switch to this project. Now, the toolkit is a free download off of the Visual Studio Galleries. Mm-hmm. And if you probably have it already installed here. So if you look, we have version 4.0.
Right.
It's a technical preview because this is one where we re-architected it so that it works better with all the different environments. And mm-hmm. catch the other video, cross-platform with Xamarin as well.
Oh, cool.
All right. So we do have that pre-installed. After you've installed it, all you need to do is select your project, pretty much anywhere in the project that you want. Mm-hmm. Go to your Tools menu, Multilingual App Toolkit, and then enable it.
So what does enable actually do?
That's a great question. What it really does is enabling makes it so that the toolkit is integrated with your project. So now when you have your workflow, when you run your build, it knows how to interact with your source resources, such as your strings that you have in English in this app, mm-hmm. and translate them and place them into Chinese, or at least soon to be Chinese.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's the enablement. That really just sets the project up. Now, in order to add languages, we simply say, right-click on it, and we say Multilingual App Toolkit, which is your key menu mm-hmm. for everything. You'll see there's a couple of grayed-out ones. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to those in a little bit. But what we want to do now is we just want to add a language. And it goes off at this point and is querying the languages that Windows has available. Mm-hmm. This is a superset to what most people are going to use, so you
yeah,
should have anything you want.
It looks like a really long list.
Yep. And in fact, if you have custom cultures, like Klingon,
oh, really?
Because Translator Service supports Klingon. If you do the custom culture, Klingon will show up here, too.
Wow.
That's pretty funny. So let's go ahead and do Chinese. And we just search for it, and here we go. Here's mm-hmm. here's our Chinese simplified. Mm-hmm. Now, you notice we have a couple of icons next to the name.
Yeah, what is that?
Those are the translation providers that are installed with the toolkit by default.
Uh-huh.
So we provide you with two providers. One's a recycling engine that uses all of Microsoft's translations that we've used in our products. For example, all the translations from localized versions of Word and Windows and Exchange, mm-hmm. they're all built in. The other icon indicates the Microsoft Translator service. And what it does is you have multiple translator providers, so you can get the best of all of them.
I see.
So let's go ahead and add that. So click OK. Now we could select multiples, but for this demo, we're just going to pick the one.
All right. So I see they added a multilingual resources, and there's an XLF file underneath that folder. What is an XLF file?
Ah, great question. So an XLF file stands for XLIF, and it's an industry standard localization file. We're using XLIF version 1.2 in this particular demo. That is a metadata-rich file that allows you to synchronize source and targets. It's used by translation houses around the world. So
I see.
Pretty much any translation vendor that is a real translation vendor knows how to run with this.
Gotcha.
The other thing we've done, and this is different in 4.0, is we've created your target ResW file as well. Mm-hmm. And this is how the system works, is you manage the resources in your XLIF file, and we populate to your ResX files.
Ah, I see.
That way, when you add a new string, you never forget to add it to the new language.
Gotcha. So I basically don't have to deal with the ResW file myself.
Correct. Now you're just working on your source language and your program's features.
Well, that's so convenient.
Yep. Yeah, we think so. All right, so there's many things we can do with this, but really what we want to do is we just simply want to translate something.
Yep.
So like most developers would do, I just want to see what it's going to look like in Chinese. So let's find
okay.
out.
Show me how to do it.
So simply just right-click on your mm-hmm. on your XLF file. And again, there's that multilingual toolkit. Mm-hmm. You'll notice a couple of the other options are now enabled.
They're all enabled now.
So just select the generate machine translations.
Uh-huh.
Oops, sorry. Got to select the right one here. You know it's a real demo when you have a failure like that, right?
Exactly.
There we go. So now it's going off to, and we're online, that's a good thing. So now it's
going off to
the online translator services, querying based upon the source strings in your project, saying, uh-huh. give me the Chinese simplified equivalent of these.
Uh-huh. Now, looks like it's doing it pretty fast.
Yeah, it's. We must have a good internet connection here today.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
So the green bar is complete.
Green bar is complete. You'll have a little message here. It'll mm-hmm. tell you how many resources have been translated. Mm-hmm. In this case, we have 46 that have been translated.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and run this project.
All right. So just deploy.
Yeah, we'll just do a build, and we'll start without debugging.
All right.
We're just going to run it. Now, you notice all I've done so far is said I want Chinese and give me some translations.
Right.
You've already written the program.
Right.
You've made it localizable, which is key. You should always make your programs localizable. Even if you're staying in the U.S. market, think about the population's diversity for language in New York City, in San Francisco,
absolutely.
Here in Seattle, right?
And in fact, I think less than 50% of the world's people speak English.
Yes, exactly. It's when you think about your market distribution, remember that 50% of the people that are going to run your application or more mm-hmm. don't speak English. And if you want them to run it, make sure it's available in their language.
Exactly.
All right. So we're still building here a little bit.
Well, it's a pretty big project I created.
Yeah. So the other thing that the toolkit does for you is it makes it so that you're really not worrying about translations.
Mm-hmm.
You can get high-end translations. You can use the machine-level translations that mm-hmm. you're using here. But it really does get to the point of, I just need to develop my features.
Yeah,
and I don't
absolutely.
Have to worry about the rest.
All right. So it's up.
Okay. This is English. What do you think happened here?
I'm not sure. I guess my system locale isn't set to Chinese.
Yes. So again, Windows understands the locale of your system. So we ran the program again on an English computer. We need to tell this computer to pretend that you're Chinese. So let's
right.
go ahead and exit the software, and then we'll just okay. restart it after you switch the locale over.
So let's see. I just go to time and language, and go to language regions, and this is the one I changed, right?
Go ahead and actually, let's pick our language should be fine.
Just right.
Chinese is the default.
Set as default. Okay.
And let's just run your
here.
Program.
And voila, there it is.
I bet you thought it wasn't going to work, didn't you?
I was a little. apprehensive. So all the UI and everything is in Chinese. I switch my recognition to Chinese and I do. And great, there it is.
Nice.
Chinese handwriting.
Yep. So in just a few minutes, we've taken a program written for an English market, but that can support other markets, added Chinese to it, enabled the Windows handwriting mm-hmm. recognition for Chinese, and now we have the same level of functionality of this app for two markets.
It just feels like magic.
It feels like magic.
And it's quick.
And it's quick. So this is the value. When you think about 190 markets and how long it took us just to get to one additional mm-hmm. market, what would it have taken if you did that manually?
I don't know. I probably go have to find someone who speaks both English and Chinese, do the translation, edit all the strings. Yep. I don't know how much work that's going to take.
I've done it.
Lots of hassle too.
I've done it with a friend of mine who speaks Russian. It was really painful. I hadn't written the toolkit at that point.
I see.
I wish I had. Okay. So there is a problem here though.
Yeah, some of these translation doesn't feel right. I mean, it's okay, but it just doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Yeah, I'm not sure the spelling of the word clear is correct either.
True.
So let's go ahead and figure out what's going on with this.
Sure.
All right. So again, we are getting machine level translation quality. And with machine level, it's going to do its best guess based upon the context, which we don't provide it much context. We said, mm-hmm. It's a computer program. Try to match this up. So it's not always going to get it right. Mm. A lot of the cases, this is going to be sufficient, but you may want to go to a higher level of translation. Like, since you're a native speaker,
yeah,
we can have you just edit this file right here.
So how do I tweak it?
So let's go ahead and come in here. And all we have to do is open up this file.
Okay.
And we have an editor that is a standalone editor. And the reason why it's standalone is you can send this program, which is about a 2 megabyte download,
uh-huh.
to friends and family.
Uh-huh.
They install it, and I'll show you how to do this, but they can do the translation for you and send it back for free. All the translation services, the editor, and now even your community has free tooling to make you successful.
Oh, wow. So I can bug my Russian friends online and say, hey, I know some word doesn't seem right. Can you help me with this?
Yes. Actually, I know developers that use Twitter and just say, hey, I can speak 3 languages. I need 6. Can anybody help me with these? I'll trade you services. And they get bombarded with, absolutely, let me help you out.
I can leverage the community to do this.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's fix the word there. Oh, I see it is right here.
Yeah.
How do I edit it?
Well, you can either edit directly just by clicking up here in the field and starting typing, or let's find out if it has a better suggestion for us.
Okay. Go ahead.
So on the top menu, it's a pretty streamlined editor. So on the top menu, we have a translate option and a suggest job, right here. And the reason why translate is grayed out is because this has already been marked as translated.
Right.
So let's click on suggest, and let's go out and get the different providers. So you'll see that it has the Microsoft Language Portal. That's all of Microsoft's professionally translated strings, which for some reason says the word clear. So somehow in the system, that got marked as a right translation. I'll have to talk to someone about that, because that one's actually
needs to be
fixed. But
it does have everything else right here.
But here's your other ones. Here's English Portals,
yeah.
And here's some other ones. So you could, like this one here.
Let's pick number 4, because that's the right
one. Does that one look right?
Yep.
Just go ahead and double-click it, or hit Apply Translations.
Suggestion.
And now we have fixed that.
Cool.
Now, if you wanted to post-edit, you could just come up here and start typing again.
Right.
So if we save this.
Okay.
And then go ahead and close. And let's just run our program again. So what you could do with this also, while we're waiting on this, is on these menus, probably grayed out because we're building, we have the ability to export and import the translations.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a clear, which I'll talk about in a moment. What those do is those provide us the ability to send to an external party. My Russian friend, I could have sent to her this exe file, she would have translated it into Russian using the editor.
Mm-hmm.
She'd send it back, and then I would import it back in. Mm-hmm. That way, I can machine translate it, and then she can fix the machine translations. So I can continue to develop while she's localizing this, and when they come back in, it will match up the strings that have not changed. Mm-hmm. And if I've changed strings, I can just resend her the file.
So that automatically merges it for you.
Excellent.
You don't have to do source control with your friends, right?
Exactly. And it will always make sure to do the right thing. It has multiple logic in it about A translated string is better than one that needs reviewing, so it'll always take a translated over that. So you don't have to worry about that. And you can just continue sending it, and you can do almost like revision review control, and it will just continue to work.
That's really convenient.
There we go.
There it is. All right. Got to rebuild the project. Okay.
So if I were to do Spanish, for example, we would just do the same process. So let's go ahead and do Spanish, only this time what we'll do is we'll go through and we'll pretend like we're going to send it off to a Spanish-speaking friend.
So how do we do that?
Well, let's exit out of our program. And we just simply add our languages again. It's just a right-click, multilingual toolkit, add our language. And it's easier just to type the code since I know what it is than it is to go hunt for it.
Oh, so, that's a lot of Spanish.
This is one thing new in Windows 10 that you'll see is the regions of the languages have been greatly extended.
Yeah, I see that.
And you'll actually see, with this is a great example, you'll see that we have different providers because we don't have a good provider for this one. We only have an exact match to Spanish for the language one, so the machine translation is the fallback. So let's go ahead and add the Spanish in. And then we just right-click it. Instead of saying generate machine translation, instead of generating machine translations, we simply just say I want to export this. And I can select multiple files. I could even do it on multiple projects, which is a little, you know, a lot of data for one person. But now I simply just want to attach this to an email. And I want to send it as an XLIF. I could set it as a comma delimited, but then our editor doesn't work with comma delimited. Right. So comma delimited is when your localizer says, I need it in this format. This gives you that flexibility. I can send it as a compressed file. If I'm sending multiples, make it real easy. But here's the file we're going to send. So I'm going to, let's send this one off to him. And it will bring up your email client. In this case, we have Outlook. It'll have the file attached, and it'll have a quick little description about what you want to do. For the most part.
It also gives me the download location for the toolset.
Yes, so this is the download location for the toolset right here. And if they click on this, it will take them directly to the Visual Studio Galleries.
Oh, cool.
And they download. Now, the key to remember here when you're talking to your localizer friends, they don't need to worry that they don't have Visual Studio, even though this is the Visual Studio extension, because this is an MSI install, and it will only install the pieces that it needs. It will see they don't have Visual Studio and not install any of those components, just the editor and translation services.
But even with just that, they can already edit the XLF file and change all the, update all the translations.
They would be able to do everything we did here except run it in Visual Studio.
Well, I guess they don't need to run it in Visual Studio.
That's what my you're job. For. Exactly. So, okay. So I'm going to go ahead and minimize this. I want to save this file off. Let me do it this way. Don't want to save these changes. We're not going to send it off. And so if I had actually sent this off to a friend, and I don't think I prepped the machine for it. Let me do this real quick. Quick demo. Demo failure. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this file. I'm just going to put it up one directory, two directories, for the sake of just having a place to pull it in from. And I'm going to open this up as as my friend would.
Oh, right.
I double click, it just runs the editor.
Yes.
And I'm just going to say translate all. And I'm doing this for the demo sake because I don't speak Spanish. And so now what I can do is I can pretend that this file will be my import file. And we'll see that I get my Spanish translation.
So when my friend received that and she downloads the toolkit and opens it up, even she gets a free translation service if she doesn't want to go through everything and edit it herself.
That's exactly right. It's a great starting point because now they can get our best guess and they can go, hey, that one's really close. And this one, well, let's just change the whole thing. The other thing that we're not going to really go into today is the translation providers are extendable. So if you want to do anything with different providers, like heaven forbid you do Google Translate, right? You could write your own provider to work with Google Translate.
Really?
Yes, it's 8 APIs. We've written it a CodePlex project to show exactly how to do it. And it will then show up in your project. And if it supports the language, you get an icon to represent your support.
That's very cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, we tried to make it as flexible as possible. So if you had your own local DB as well, it would work just with that on the machine. You wouldn't need internet access. All right, we're going to go ahead and save this. And let's go back to our project. And this file here doesn't have any translations in it, so I'm going to go ahead and import these. And I'm going to go up one where I put that file.
Yep, there it is.
And now I'm going to import this file into this project. Mm-hmm. There's this option for enable recycling.
What is recycling?
Recycling is when it's not an exact match, but we think it's a good fit.
Uh-huh.
In our case, we went a little strict. We're still evaluating how strict we want to be. But this means that if my languages match and my source string matches, I don't care about the context. I don't care if it's the same resource ID. I'll go ahead and pull it in.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us the ability to take other projects we've had translated and import them into this project that is unrelated as long as we have the same strings. Mm-hmm. For example, how many times do you want to really localize the button that says cancel?
Right.
Right? Never again. Right? So I'm going to go ahead and import on this. And it will give me a report that I have 46 resources that were successfully imported. Mm-hmm. So now, if I do a quick build on this, and you'll see as we're building, you'll see that it actually did create our Spanish file as well. Okay, and it will now populate our Spanish file, and we won't run the demo, but we'll show you the resources. Now we have Spanish.
Cool.
So
all it took is what, 2-3 minutes?
Something like that.
Another language.
I like to joke that if you give me 10 clicks, I'll give you 10 languages.
Nice.
And it's not really a joke. Okay. So that's pretty much it for the demo. That's I love the how the app just you can just read it and it can get your native language and translate it into the actual text format. That's very useful for any type of application that you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can take that to all your markets, right? All the Windows markets, all the power of Windows. And the power of your language.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
To the entire world.
To the entire world, yes. There's a lot of data on, I've had developers tell me, yeah, I found your toolkit and I localized and for a particular market and it doubled my downloads, right? I love hearing that, right? Mm-hmm. If anybody has those stories, multilingual@microsoft.com, email to me. I love those type of stories because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make your life easy in your translation.
Absolutely.
So you can get to the markets you want to get to.
Especially since the China market now is huge when it comes to smart devices.
Absolutely, absolutely. So here's the ResW file for Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that we have all of our Spanish translations.
Oh, wow.
So we won't bother running the demo, but it would just show up in Spanish if we set the machine locale like we did to Chinese. And then you could do your Spanish hand recognition as well.
Very cool.
All right. So I'm going to jump into a couple of the questions that I always get. Developers are always going, okay, that's really great, but you know, I don't know anything about localization or globalization. And I'm like, well, that's fine, because there's a lot of data out there on it. So let's jump into that. So I'm going to demystify some things. So one of the things that people always say is, well, I don't understand the globalization APIs, or they're confusing. They're actually pretty straightforward. If you take a little bit of time, you know, Stack Overflow has some great examples. If you take a little time to look at them, it really is about ensuring that the format of the data represented has the right commas, decimal points, the correct currency symbols on them. Like example, if I show any type of numeric value in France, I'm going to get a comma separator, and I'm not always at the same location in English.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use your decimal formatters and your percentage and your currencies from the number formatting APIs, it will just give those to you for free. You pass in the number, it will do the right thing based upon your locale.
Mm-hmm.
So
just call the right APIs. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, just call the right APIs. Don't hard code your string dot format, because that will just make it so that you got bugs and people are going, that doesn't make any sense. Why is it 1,000 when it should be 100? Because the comma's in the wrong spot.
Right.
Time and date formatters, right? there's so many ways to do time and date wrong that if you use the system APIs, you'll get it right because it provides a pattern. So with the pattern, you can say that I want the month, the year, and the day, and it will know based on the locale how to order it properly so it makes sense for that locale.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of hard coding positions, you have a pattern and it works really well. And of course, calendar, right? Don't ever try to write your own calendar, because all it does, not everything is a Gregorian calendar. Not everything starts on a Sunday as the first day of the week.
Oh yeah, and those talk are about complicated.
And those are the least of your problems, right? Yes. So yeah, use the calendar controls on the system, definitely. Some of the things to avoid, right? We talked about this a little bit. This string format for month, day, year works really well in almost nowhere. So just don't use it. You might be able to get away with it here in the States, but it won't work anywhere else. And the formatting, this here is going to be wrong. Currency, the dollar sign for the U.S. dollar would possibly be offensive if you try to go to multiple markets. And if you offend someone with your app, they're probably not going to run it.
Exactly.
Given the diversity of the market. Don't override the user's language, their locale, unless there's a really good reason to, and they have opted into it. Sometimes there's a valid reason to do it, but when you do it, remember, it's permanent. They have to uninstall, or you have to manually reset it back. It is stuck on that locale.
Wow.
So that looks like a harmless API. It's a really powerful one, but when used incorrectly, you're going to get a lot of negative feedback.
I see.
And we know how much we want negative
feedback.
So they
run your app, and now they have to screw with your system.
Exactly. Yeah, they have no way to undo it.
Oh, I see.
But they can't always uninstall you.
Oh, that's not something
that's not what we're trying to promote here. So use this one with caution if you're going to use it at all. And then, of course, we talked about the calendar controls. Just use the ones that are built in. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong. Localization demystified. These are some of the core questions that get on localization as well. Always use localization files for your strings. Even if you're only going to a targeted market, there are several applications I know of that are centric to a particular market, but they've made it localizable and they go into other markets just because it might be fun for those markets. Well, they get a high percentage of downloads from those markets. I have one called Fingerspell that actually gets a 50% download out of the U.S., and it is an American Sign Language app.
So it's like a unexpected windfall.
It's a planned windfall.
A planned windfall.
For 10 clicks in 10 languages.
Right, exactly.
Right? Remember, your strings are going to grow, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually translate source language in German and go to English just for this, to avoid this, because German and Russian are going to be longer strings just by default.
That's right.
And the toolkit will work with that. If you want to start in German and work your way to English, we support that. That works just great. But just remember, give growth room. If you pack everything really tight, especially with all the diverse form factors, it's not going to be a good user experience. Very simple. Do your bindings, your XUIDs in your store apps. And if you're using JavaScript apps, make sure you do your your data win resource. That just hooks it up and you're good to go. Never load a resource string manually by saying, I'm just going to use an English string here, because even if it's an exception, go ahead and use the resource loader API to get the string. One note on that, this will return an empty string if it's not in your system. So right here, if resourceloader.getString myresource doesn't exist in your ResW file, you get a blank. So if you get a blank, go look, I didn't translate something. I didn't create a string that I created an ID for. And then, in your cultures for your images, make sure that if you have images that are specific to a locale, you put them in a path that has the path or image, the locale, and then the image that you want for the name path. And that will make the system pick it up automatically. So if I was in Chinese and I had a background, it would show me my Chinese image for my background instead of my US image, which gives you that extra, feels like it was built here.
Right, right.
Which is higher stars on the ratings, right?
So localization is not just for strings.
Correct.
It's for other resources as well.
Localization and globalization is anything you can display on the screen or store, right? Mm-hmm. You know, store neutral, display local.
Excellent.
Here are a couple of resources that are available to developers. We'll go over these pretty quickly. So, of course, the Multilingual App Toolkit, because I think everybody wants at least 10 languages with 10 clicks right now. And so that's a real easy download. On the link you have provided here. We talk about what we do in the toolkit on our blog. We take comments and feedback. We also have a user voice site, because those are so cool. I love when people give us feedback on user voice site, because it allows us to modify the product and give them what they're looking for.
Excellent.
Translation services. These are the two we actually showed in the product. So we have the Microsoft Translator. That is a pay-for-service. unless you're using the Multilingual Toolkit, in which then we give you all you can eat for free. But if you want to integrate it into a website, this is a great way to do it for dynamic website translation. Mm-hmm. And also the language portal is the Microsoft Professional Translator Strings. You can hook into that yourself as well. We do it for you with the toolkit. And of course, localization samples, right? There, you can never get enough localization samples because that's the best way to learn. So here are some basic ones that have your date and your time formatting. That is pretty much 90% of the issues people hit. Mm-hmm. Download some of these samples and play with it, and you'll figure that out right away. Got our numbers for parsing. For example, you know, you just don't want to do two string on a number all the time. You want to be able to put it in the right format. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are some samples on a full application for the localization aspect of it, such as we're doing with Matt. That's our whirlwind tour of the Multilingual App Toolkit. Francis, thank you very much for for that app. That's an awesome app.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing it in Chinese.
All righty.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.